Good evening, and thank everyone for their participation in the singing tonight and worship to our Lord. We'll be looking at Psalms 25, the text that Alex read to begin our worship service, the Psalm of David. David's one of those men of the Bible that I've liked to have heard pray in person. It would have been an amazing thing. He's able to express himself to the Lord in such an amazing way. But when we look at this psalm, just as a little history of it, most Bible scholars theorize that it was written during the rebellion of his son Absalom. And it really does make sense when you consider that story. If you remember in 2 Samuel 13 through 18, the story, the trouble started when his half-brother Amnon raped his sister Tamar. And for reasons we can only speculate about, David lingered and never punished Amnon. And there's quite a bit of commentary written on this subject on why he may have not enacted judgment. You can look into that on your own. But I believe it was a mistake on David's part, and it only fueled Absalom's later revolt. But regardless of the reason, 2 years later, Absalom devises a plan, and he carries it out successfully to avenge his sister, and Amnon was murdered. And to avoid punishment, Absalom fled into exile for 3 years before he was allowed back into Jerusalem. And it took another 2 years before he was able to be in the presence of David. But by that time, Absalom had determined in his heart to rebel against his father, and he was able to convince enough people that David felt the need to flee Jerusalem. And it's during this time that most think that this psalm was written. But the Lord gave David time to assemble an army, and there was a battle in the forest of Ephraim. And there this rebel army was defeated. I think 20,000 men were killed that day, and the Bible says even more perished in the forest. And his son Absalom died that day as well. He was riding his donkey through the forest, and his hair was caught in a thicket of an oak tree. And the Bible says that he was suspended between heavens and earth. It didn't kill him, but he was killed with 3 darts to the heart. And it says that David was heartbroken. He mourned for his son. So whether or not you think these events inspired the psalm, it's evident by the psalm itself that David was dealing with some sort of great difficulty, some situation, trouble within his heart. And you see his anguish and distress when you look at the psalm. If you look at verse 15 through 19 with me. It says, "My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for you shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. O, bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." So when we look at this psalm and we see David here, we do ourselves a great help if we imitate David's words in the psalm when we deal with problems in our life. David, like us, made mistakes. He made big mistakes. He sinned, but he always repents, and he longs after God, and he trusts after the Lord. For a few minutes tonight, let's look at what we see of the psalmist here as he looks to God in his time of trouble. Now, the first thing is we see his spirit. In verse 1, he approaches God with a sacrificial attitude. He says, "I lift up my soul, O God, and I trust in you." In essence, he's saying, "I look to you, and I look only to you." David's able to pour out his heart to God. He reveals many things in the psalm, his pain and his fear, but also his hope and his confidence in God. He lays everything out to the Lord to see. Are we that open with God when we talk to him in our prayers? He doesn't try to hide anything. He's mindful of his shortcomings and his dependence on God. If we are honest, we'll recognize that most of our troubles are derived out of sin, either sin from people around us, but more often than not, our own sin causes our own troubles. And you've heard it said, probably the saying, that if you tolerate sin in your life, it'll take you to places you never wanted to go. You'll be there longer than you wanted to be there, and it'll cost you much more than you thought it would ever cost you. I think it's true for David. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 10, the Lord tells David that his house would always bear the burden of his sin with Bathsheba. He said through his prophet Nathan, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." So I believe at least in part, David's trouble was his own fault. We see him confessing his sin to the Lord. Three times David mentions his sin in this psalm. In verse 6 and 7, he prays, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for goodness sake, O Lord." Then in verse 11, he prays, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Verse 18, he prayed, "Look on my affliction and pain and forgive all my sins." David is obviously going through some sort of deep feelings of guilt for his sin, but he confesses them, and he trusts in the Lord for his salvation, which brings me to our next point. We see his confidence in God. Verse 1 and 2, he has the confidence to go to God. He spoke with the Lord and said, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." It seems like a simple point, but David took his troubles to the Lord. Sometimes it's the most obvious things we need to be reminded of. We need to go to the Lord. He says, "I lift up my soul." It's a vivid picture of David's dependence on God. "I look to you and you only," saying, "I need your help, God." And then in verse 3, not only does David have the confidence to go to him, but he has the confidence to wait on him. He says, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." David knew that the answer may not come right away, but he was willing to wait. Two other times in this psalm, he talks about waiting on the Lord in verse 5, and then also in verse, I think, 21. But in verse 5, he told God, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day." David had confidence in God's truth and his teaching and his salvation. In just the verses 15 through 20, David expresses his confidence in God in five different ways. He had confidence in his help, in his deliverance, his comfort, his forgiveness, and his protection. David had complete confidence in God, and so can we. The last thing I want you to consider with me is how much David thinks about God. And when I say thinks about, I mean David must have spent a lot of time dwelling on God, what God is and what he is about. I say this because the psalm is full of God's attributes. It says, God is trustworthy and faithful, verse 1 and 3. He is marked by truth, 5 and 10. He is the Savior, verse 5. He's compassionate and loving, verse 6. He is good and upright, verse 8. He is just, verse 9. Forgiving, verse 11. He reveals his truth to those who fear him, verse 14. He is gracious and comforts the lonely, verse 16. He is powerful to rescue his people from their afflictions, 15, 17, 18, and 20. He will redeem his chosen people from all their troubles, verse 22. So in times of trouble, look to God. Think about God. Think about your deliverer. The Lord is always good, loving, and compassionate. He's able to deliver us from our trials even when we're there because of our own sin, if we're only willing to humble ourselves and ask for repentance and seek him. He's willing to instruct us as sinners, that we know his wisdom to guide us out of that sin. Our difficult circumstances should drive us to examine our heart, confess and forsake all our known sin, and to cry out to the Lord for his righteous deliverance, not just for his glory, but also for our good. So tonight, we encourage you to lift up your heart to God. He has a plan for you. We encourage you to look to Jesus to be saved from your sins, and we would love to help you tonight as we stand and sing.